Welcome to Cambridge Inside Out after a long and storied absence.
We're back. I mean, I'm longer back than you are. I mean, yes. August 3rd was, I think, my last show, and you did one with Patrick.
Yeah. So we blew off 3 weeks, right?
Well, lots of people did. It's August.
Well, yeah, that's right. It's like, you know, we went to...
No city council meeting. There are lots of other meetings.
We were all vacationing in the south of France,
right? Yeah, right, sure. Yeah,
no,
right.
No, I was...
I was moving and doing things.
Yeah, yeah. So. No, and it's still hellacious activity in my house with electricians busting holes in walls and
still?
Whatever. I'm living like a refugee.
Well, better than firemen busting holes in walls. Right?
That's true. I mean, that's absolutely true.
I mean, nothing gets a fireman,
right.
But... Hey,
no, but, you know, no better way to actually force a person to basically take stock
of
like 40 years of possessions.
Interesting. Either a fire will do it, or the electrician knocking down walls,
and have to empty out rooms. Yeah.
That's
so
good. So we're at that phase of our lives.
I'm trying to make lemonade
out
of them lemons. That's right.
Downsize.
Absolutely.
But a lot has happened, and you're fed up, I know.
I'm a little worn out after following civic affairs since probably about 1985.
Right. And
honestly, 34 years, I'm ready to throw in the towel. But
would you say that this summer, though, in terms of the city and the ordinance, has been more active than the usual summer?
There have been
many meetings.
Oftentimes, there's some sort of like a hot button issue that really gets
but
things
triggered.
But now we've
got three hot button issues.
Yeah, well, but you know, a couple of years ago, it was like the bike thing was sort of like all over the place. But there have been other times when it was all really contentious.
But you've got affordable housing over there, you've got the courthouse,
right.
And then you've got the cannabis thing, which blows my mind.
Yeah,
you could have five stores in Central Square.
Five? I know
Four?
Three.
Three.
I know three.
It's
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah, actually, there are two hearings on the social equity and one of the economic empowerment applicants tonight at planning board.
How many do you need? I know we can have nine in Cambridge, but do we
right?
Need
so let's
that?
Put them all in Central Square, right?
Oh,
you know, it would be the cannabis
next to
district.
The safe injection sites.
Well,
I mean, that's I don't know.
I think Mayor Curaton of Somerville ought to take care of that, quite honestly.
No, Governor is pushing, I think.
We'll
see.
That's another matter.
It's a municipal election year, so we'll see.
Oh, boy, yeah. The thing is, it's not like this is the first year when there was sort of controversy.
No, but there seems to be a lot that's determined by zoning issues.
I think what's happening is, more than that. It was actually when before the Envision Cambridge process started, there was a car loan petition, that wanted to basically put a lot of control for special permits and take it from the planning board, give it to the council. And I think several people correctly pointed out that been done, then every single time a special permit was issued, it would have been completely
Look at all the problems around curb cuts.
Well,
can
would
you
have,
imagine this?
Honestly, it would have just been done wonders for campaign accounts because everybody would be trying to contribute to candidates.
Yeah. Take away the curb cut authority, too. I think crazy. That's crazy.
So anyway, the big ones.
Yeah, the big ones
I also
are,
wanted to mention a few small things, but the big things, arguably, is the
affordable,
you know, the
overlay.
Affordable housing overlay.
AHO.
Right? The,
not AOC, AHO.
Right, or the abominable hubris overlay.
Well,
yeah,
I'm not quite there, but
there was the leasehold arrangement for the First Street Garage, which is sort of, at least some might view this as sort of an essential... linchpin to permit the courthouse redevelopment by Legge
McCall.
Is that
the longest public comment that you know of? Because
five and a half hours. The thing is it's kind of hard to say. Certainly in the days of televised hearings and whatever, maybe it is. But, you know, if you go back to 1994, when question 9 was
control?
On the ballot and everybody was chiming in, then, and back then you could chime in at any time in the meeting, so it wasn't like it was all up front.
Are you kidding?
It's when the issue came up, that's when you made comment.
I didn't know that. How did they even run a meeting then?
Well, you know, I actually liked it that way because, but the thing is, it wasn't fair to people who had lives to lead. And they didn't want to necessarily wait till midnight for their issue to come up.
I see. So you had to only respond to the issue.
Yeah. So by about 1999-ish, they came up with some modifications to the council rules that allowed, they basically said, let's just front load all of the public comments. So,
which makes sense, but also, calls
you know,
for a very
what
long
it,
evening.
What it means is, you know, under the pretense of at least, if you're at least pretending to listen to the public, what it means is that, you know, if everybody's going to be given, let's say, 3 minutes, but the thing is, that's highly negotiable, you know. if
it was 2 minutes for this
for two,
the,
yeah,
because
the,
yeah. there's so many people.
I mean, I think a few years ago the rule was going to be like, well, let's just take 2 hours and divide it by as many as there are people, and so somebody might have 20 seconds if you did the math, right? So anyway, so you know, people running for election want to sort of be, you know, perceived as allowing the public to speak. So,
but you know, the they're allowed to have communications, and the counselors, if they do their job, are reading these communications. But the same people then
show up to
talk. Yeah. Some, well, they should be getting paid to do that.
You know,
someone's getting paid to do
it's
that.
It's true, but you know, I mean, I'm a little more interested when during public comment there are people who I never saw before. I find that more interesting.
Three people said they had never come to a meeting before.
Yeah.
But they were so, and very diverse. I think they were proponents, or, I mean, they just said that.
In favor of the leasehold arrangement.
It may have
been
split, but yeah.
Right, but the thing is that, you know, there are certain individuals, when they step up to the microphone, I might as well just go get myself a coffee, because honestly,
well,
I know exactly
they're
what they're going to say.
Yeah, and I think they wear out their welcome in a way, because...
I mean, I remember the daughter of a former city councilor once said to me, says, oh, you've become one of the usual suspects, have you?
Oh, you...
Yeah, and at that point, I stopped speaking at council meetings for about 4 years.
Yeah. No, it's true.
Yeah.
You get a reputation.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
sort of like Monday Night Live. It's, for some people, it's their opportunity to sort of...
To say, look at me. And you know,
hey,
it's
listen,
a shame,
hey,
because some
hey,
of
this
them...
this is Tuesday Night Live, right?
Right?
How about that?
But
right?
some of them have something to say, but if they come every week, you start to tune out. And it's
unfortunate. Well, actually, the thing is, if somebody, every time they go up and they say something, they're thoughtful, considerate,
and brief,
to the point, and brief, they actually will develop a respect amongst counselors, and in which case they can keep coming back, and everybody will actually listen to them. But you know, the moment you start basically going up and just accusing everybody of everything under the sun, and I'm not going to name names, but there are some who that's all they ever do.
Yeah.
Then you know everybody tunes them out.
Yeah.
At that point,
I would
say
there's more people on the other side. It seems. I mean, I just get tired of seeing the same.
Yeah.
But they always
have
something smart to say.
Yeah. So it's overlay.
Right.
And we've got to talk about some of the particulars here,
And the leasing
leasehold arrangement for a street garage. The cannabis regulation, they haven't moved it yet, but...
It's an ordinance
But
issue,
what happened
right?
in the interim while we were in the south of... Vacationing in the south of France.
People
are
going to think that.
It's really right. anyway, during that, there was actually, and I guess it must have been an ordinance committee hearing, which actually ended in chaos. Actual, like, shouting...
Really?
Oh,
When was this?
They recessed
I watched
it,
all of them.
And there were people that tempers were flaring.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, the thing is, you know, the way I'm kind of looking at this, honestly, I mean, and I'm not trying to poo-poo the whole idea of economic empowerment or social equity or whatever here, but the truth is what you're basically doing is you're putting a big pile of cash on the table and saying, hey, everybody, come and grab some money.
Yeah.
And so people who maybe have never actually become, like, you know, wealthy or whatever, they're going... Oh boy, I got to get a piece of that action.
Yeah.
And if you just sort of say, everybody come and grab, they're going to be in competition. There are going to be some hard feelings.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what's happening. Now, I have to say, I do blame the city council for not managing it so well.
Yeah.
You know, because to allow it to get to that point. But, you know, I don't know what you would have done otherwise either. So I'm not, you know, I can't be
Craig
too.
Craig Kelly had, I don't know where it was either, it was something he's. About some of his concerns about the whole cannabis thing. One of them that struck me was, what was it? Oh, he thinks the whole moratorium thing, not letting the non-economic, could be illegal and probably be challenged in court. And I think he might be right.
You know, I think it's a matter of degree. So, and again, there have been some modifications. I didn't even bother to read them. You know, honestly, I wasn't going to go pouring through 1,400 pages of nonsense on that agenda this time. I mean, the fact that I even got sort of a compact version online is a miracle.
Is that in the agenda about the
cannabis? It was a communication, I think, from Councillor Simmons or whatever.
Okay.
Little modifications.
Oh, the amendment type stuff.
Yeah.
I think that's what I read.
Yeah.
It was
That
was
so they're modifying some of these things as they go here, right?
Right.
But one of the I mean, the real, one of the fundamental difficulties here is that the, you know, for those who didn't know it, you're fools. But the thing is that the medical marijuana was always just sort of the Trojan horse for recreational marijuana, right from the very beginning.
Yeah.
You know, and again, I'm not trying to say there's no such thing as medical marijuana, but the thing is,
a lot of people benefit from that.
Why was so many people sort of so hot to get in on the ground floor? It was because they knew darn well that eventually there was going to be a referendum.
They already had this business, and they could add that.
And in a place like Massachusetts, there was a pretty good chance that the referendum would pass, and then they would have recreational marijuana, and they want to get it on the ground floor.
Can't blame them for that.
Right, but the thing is, what's difficult about it is that the recreational, the medical marijuana people had to be sort of vertically integrated companies. They had to make it, grow it, test it,
They're all established,
of these things, right?
And have a lot of money behind them.
You need a lot of money up front to make all that happen, right? So that would normally exclude
somebody who was just
folks from the neighborhood who wanted to sort of start a pot shop, right? So so I can understand why, in fact, you want to kind of,
level the playing field?
Unlevel the playing field. The level playing field would have been too harsh for the little players.
All right.
So they want to unlevel the playing field to sort of give others a shot in. So how much of an advantage is something that's legally defensible becomes the issue? So to me, when it was proposed, I forget, I've even given up on even trying to remember whose proposals these were, but one proposal on the table was to have a 2-year moratorium
so it was
2-year moratorium so that the people who are doing the medical marijuana, who, by the way, are often the suppliers to the people for the others.
And in fact, they're trying to make some deals with
the way to get it to work out is say, we'll supply
it.
Well, you, in the meantime, you can operate the retail store.
Right.
But we have a right to maybe do deliveries or something, which is currently illegal, I think, under Massachusetts.
The banks are illegal. You can't even
I know. The legislature, I heard, rumor was they were trying to work something out. I think there's probably some compromise.
But federally, it's against the law. So how do you get around that?
I don't know, honestly.
I don't know what's going on.
So they're going to have to work something out about this. But one thing that is really ridiculous to me is in a place like Central Square, where we have already Revolutionary Clinics. They have their whole storefront all set up, whatever.
So
that's
they're not
medical,
going to be allowed to...
But they're not going to be allowed to sell the recreational.
But they are going to have medical there?
Yeah.
Because don't they have one out in the quadrant?
Yeah, they have multiples. Place? I mean, they're kind of a big operation now, right?
Okay.
But then, a few doors up, at the... first floor of space of Central Kitchen is where Homegrown LLC wants to be doing recreational.
And then across the street where the old Harvest, there's another
one. Oh, no, actually, it's that Homegrown is across the street.
That's 580, I think.
And it's Marvin Gilmore's operation.
All right,
so Western Front LLC.
Sean Sump Hope.
Everybody, you've got to get yourself a politically connected lawyer. That's like step one.
But do we need two places right across the street from each other plus at medical? Come on! What's going on here?
No, it's
going
to be wacky. But this actually really wasn't even an issue on the table at the meeting last night. Certainly next week or the week after.
Anything on the agenda was pushed.
They can't punt this forever, so it'll be coming there.
Isn't it like a time thing?
So overlay, leasehold, medical marijuana. Now actually, there's a new zoning petition popped on the table. Yesterday.
Oh no.
Actually, it's a good one, I think.
What's this?
There's one. It's called the Alewife Quadrangle Northeast Overlay Petition.
I did see that. Okay.
And again, I didn't read it the super fine detail. I do actually have a copy here, but it's basically says that it's actually consistent with one of the relatively few good things that grew out of the Envision Cambridge process, which is in the upfront part about. Alewife, they basically said, look, there's already some sort of light industrial uses. They've already taken place.
You're talking about the one between Concord Ave and that part.
North of Concord Ave, south of the railroad tracks, going out to Santa Maria.
Yeah, where there's Iggy's and some other places now. Okay.
So people say, well, if you could actually create some job producing or job maintaining,
light industrial,
you could breweries or whatever.
But I thought that was always the plan.
The thing is, if just allowed to proceed
based
purely on economics, then currently there would be nothing but big housing going in there.
Or
big office parks, whatever, which is what you see up on the north side of the
tracks. But isn't it zoned for industrial? No?
Yeah, it is. But the thing is that in industrial zones, they passed a change in the zoning some 15 years ago. That basically is you can put housing in industrial zones, in all zones pretty much. So that's really what led to all the housing being built up in the Alewife area in the Triangle.
That's where they tow your cars to, you know. That's the other tow place.
Yeah, maybe. Pretty much those tow lots are disappearing quick because it's not the highest and best use of the land.
I don't know, $100.
Yeah. No, I've been on the hook. Yeah. But so the thing is that if you just allowed economics today to proceed, then big players would be buying up land, mm-hmm. putting in, you know, 6-story apartment buildings or some office park or whatever to meet some of the unmet demand that, you know, that's
make
elsewhere.
Make them build the bridge. Have that part of this whole position.
Yeah, well, tough to make them build it, but
if you say, look, if you give us money towards this
need to have kind of like a big player with deep pockets in order to make magical things like that happen.
That's a good point.
You know, it's if you just get some big player, they're not going to say, I'm sorry, we can't put a bridge in for you.
Some people would say that the city is a big player.
Well, the thing is that the city never built things like that, really.
No.
Usually they were once upon a time, 50 years ago, there was federal money to build things like bridges and such. And so that's how things like that got done. But all that money's gone.
The big dig gone.
Yeah, it's all gone. You know, so you have to kind of leverage things now. It's all about leveraging things.
It's true. You got to make deals.
Yeah.
Not to promote.
So this petition basically, I think, just wants to lock that in.
But it's nothing was just it just was submitted.
Usually what happens with zoning petitions, there's nothing to say or do really.
You
refer to the planning board and the ordinance committee for hearing and report
deliberation,
and then the process proceeds. I mean, personally, I think this one will probably do rather well.
Yeah,
and
people want
and I
that
think
kind
people
of stuff
say
there.
This is consistent with what a lot of people sort of thought was a good idea. And
so who submitted it? Who was the sponsor?
You know, I don't know who the author as such is. Yeah. There's a bunch of lists of names. It's named after the first signer, and I've already forgotten what the person is. I've saw some
just
familiar names.
I mean, they have to be Cambridge residents, don't they?
A registered voter. You need at least 10 registered voters, and there's more than enough of that. So
we'll have to look at that.
So anyway, that's a minor matter for now, but it's, you know, it's proceeding.
That's good, because that's the last kind of frontier.
Yeah. Actually, before we get into some of the controversy. A little bit got punted, right? Okay. So just
big
good
punt.
Yeah. But
refile.
That's right.
Well,
yeah.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah. But there are actually a few other things that are of some interest. One thing, you know, it happened between, because we had talked about it before it happened, and now it's happened, was August 22nd. The old-time baseball game up at St. Peter's Field.
It's too hot.
Right, but I have to say, and I don't think I mentioned this on the program with Patrick, that you know, the featured Red Sox star was Roger Clemens.
Yes, I knew that.
And Roger Clemens actually pitched. Usually, you know, you think, oh, he's going to pitch an inning, a token thing, and then he's going to hop in a cab and see you later, right?
No.
No, he pitched like something like 3 innings.
Well, yeah.
And he came to bat twice, and he drove in 2 runs.
No way.
And he was enjoying himself.
Oh, nice.
And it was really impressive. So there he was. He's Roger Clemens. Yeah. He's like the man, right?
Yeah.
And the players are gathering around him, and he's just taking it. He's giving advice to young players and whatever. He was everything you want a Major League Baseball player to be.
Well, Pedro was
It was
like
great.
That last
Pedro
year, right?
also an absolute jewel
Pedro's
of a human being.
Pedro's also connected to the Red Sox now, too.
But I have to say, though, you know, so what happened after you figure, okay, maybe after 4 innings or whatever, he's going to split, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you can kind of see people gathering around the dugout where that was going to happen. And so then when he's, okay, he's leaving now, and then everybody's there, you know, they want to get autographs or whatever. So somebody who's with him basically says, okay, everybody just line up.
Wow.
He's going to stay. He's going to sign everybody's everything. And he's going to talk to everybody. And he did. You know, so I have to say, I walked away saying, you know, Roger is the man. He was good.
He may not get asked a lot, especially back in Massachusetts.
He may not be, but I tell you, he was really, really great. You know, another great baseball-related thing, of course, David Ortiz got announced.
Oh, I heard he was in last night.
And spoke at
the
Red Sox
really
game.
Is tanking.
The team is tanking, but to tell you, it was a great moment to see David Ortiz back.
I'm all for the Cubs this year.
So that was pretty cool.
Good.
And one other little thing, a little announcement, is... So this Saturday, the 14th, I think the time it's, is from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Go up to Danahy Park. It's the Danahy Park Family Day, which is usually a lot of fun. Usually, you'll, if you get there early enough, the city manager or some other you know, the school superintendent, they'll be out the grill handing out coffee.
Yeah, they'll give you a hot dog and chips.
You know, get some hot dogs and whatever, and it's fun. It's in a municipal election year, so I guarantee you there's going to be a lot of political candidates in full regalia.
There's a lot of tables of the information. I know I've tabled for the recycling.
Yeah. So, you know, hopefully the weather will be good, and you know, it's a good time. The kids love it. So, if you got children.
I don't think the weather will be good, actually.
Really? For Saturday? I think it's a rain. It may be a rain date, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But anyway, so look for that. So.
Okay.
So, anyway, back to the hysteria. So, in a way, it was a little deflating.
The AHO? They said not to do a vote on it.
All right, so right, well, let's first say what happened, what didn't happen.
Because I
with
fell
the
asleep at that point.
First Street Garage.
Oh,
so the First Street Garage, so there was a 6:30 hearing on it, and it was supposed to play out so that you had the hearing and then they voted on the leasehold arrangement.
Right, but they wanted public comment specifically about the hearing before they voted on
and
it.
And I don't know if anybody absolutely knew for sure whether it was going to get the necessary 6 votes.
I thought it was just 5.
It's
a zoning change?
No, it's not a zoning change, but it's a disposition of city property.
Oh, and that
also requires supermajority vote.
Oh,
so,
yeah, I don't think they were gonna
And the
it.
Thing is that I think if before it became thoroughly politicized, I think there probably would have been a means, because the amount of benefits that would accrue should they make the arrangement, in terms of reactivation of First Street, And a lot of money going into these various, you know, funds, you know, affordable housing trusts, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
It was a pretty sweet deal. And honestly, if they don't vote for it, they're going to lose all that. And then they probably will be able to make a project happen anyway. But the city's going to lose all the benefits.
Well,
so.
Why would they lose the benefits? Because it was all contingent on the parking spaces?
Yeah, that was the deal. You know, the thing is they got
that's
the special
permit.
They
have no
permit.
Other leverage. You're
that's
right.
It. That was it, right? So,
I didn't think of
you know,
that. Yeah.
So basically they
can't
said.
Can't they just reduce the amount of spaces, though?
You know, I don't know what the rules are in zoning. You know, must it be 420?
Give up 300 spaces.
If there was some way to negotiate it,
yeah.
You know, my personal feeling, but again, I don't know if it's legal, it would be the ideal solution would be. Again, but may not be legal, is just basically say, everybody who's going to work here, anybody who's going to set up shop here, you got to make your own arrangements. So, you know, if such and such
not
company...
Not a great selling point, though, a company trying to
I know, but if a company, say company wants to occupy the fourth floor of the building, and then they say, okay, we're going to have 24 employees.
Mm-hmm.
So they make an arrangement with one local operator of a parking lot for 24 spaces or whatever the required number of spaces. So then they can occupy that.
But
so
how many parking lots are there around there?
Well, the city did a study. Actually, there is actually enough if you add them all up. But the thing is,
but
not everybody.
Some people say they're counting some that really aren't even.
I know,
effect.
But once it became politicized,
I don't know.
I ceased believing everything that people were presenting stuff as fact.
I mean, basically, people don't want this development. They don't.
No.
The people that are
some
against.
Some people don't want the development to happen. Some people do want.
No. Well, I'm saying the people that are against it, they talk about the parking issue, but it really is that they. Don't want these office things. They don't want
I mean,
they don't want all the people that are come
of,
to work there that are going to
the
raise
level
rents
of,
and everything.
The level
yeah.
of mendacity
yeah.
has reached an
yeah.
all-time high in this city.
Yeah.
There are people with a straight face say, well, this isn't about the courthouse development. This is just about the right, you know, whether in fact you should be, you know, allowing public property to be used for private use.
No,
that's
that,
all about this. You
know? No, it
isn't. Of course it's not,
no, it's,
you know.
It's about trying to right a wrong that was wrong a long time ago and you,
yeah,
let's just
but,
make the best
but,
of the situation.
But
then,
I have to
know?
Say, the
yeah.
what is it, 100, what, it was about 200-foot tall building, I think, something in that order?
It's
in that range,
there.
Right?
It's big.
But the thing is,
yeah.
is in the interim, you know, when that was built, that
yeah.
was the one tall building.
Right.
Now... 50 years later,
yeah.
it ain't the one tall building. I'm
it's
looking right across
too.
The street
oh,
right
I know.
Now at one that's of
but
same
those
height.
Same people would say, see?
Right.
And look
but
at Kendall. It's just
big.
But
Kendall's
it is part of Kendall
now,
Square.
Right.
I mean, that is part of Kendall
so,
Square.
So, yes, it's big relative to the short ones that
and,
are very
and I feel
nearby,
bad for people that live around there and have seen this change, but you know what? That's what happens in a city.
That's
know?
What happens in a city. I mean, but I don't want to use that as an excuse
no,
for
don't,
running roughshod.
Don't want
I mean, honestly,
to go next to your house.
Honestly, these overlay characters, they're basically saying, you know, like, well, you live in a city, so you should accept anything I impose on you. go, well, I don't know that that's quite the like,
that type of negotiation. I wonder if there's some people that are against this, but are against also for the whole. I mean, is there any common ground there?
You know, that's right. It's a totally chaotic political lines.
You can't determine
Yeah, but things are really being I mean, there are people who I know who I agree with on the overlay business, but who are totally against the courthouse development.
Yeah.
Personally, I just want them to get moving on the damn courthouse development.
It's ugly.
But I'm dead set against the overlay business.
Yeah.
You know, so the thing is, it's not a convenient political lines, but but they are kind of being redrawn a little bit here. The thing I really don't like is how certain individuals like State Representative Connolly is basically using this as an organizing tool for his own political future.
Yeah.
And he's got his little Our Revolution group.
They were out there in
which is,
full force.
Basically about five Marxists and their friends.
I don't know. Now that I know some names, they definitely spoke. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, everybody wants to live under a little circus tent now, you know. So, I'm going to be part of the Better Cambridge little circus tent, or I'm going to be part of the Our Revolution circus tent.
Yeah.
You know, we might as well just throw all the individuals in the Charles River because everybody's part of the group now.
They had a forum the other night. I didn't go.
The ABC people?
No,
the Our Revolution did.
ABC
and they, Wednesday or Thursday.
Wednesday night at the library. I'm going to go to that, but I didn't go to the 5th.
Tell me how it turns out because honestly, my tolerance for a lot of
18 candidates are going to be there, so I want to hear that. That's a lot of candidates.
That could be interesting. Yeah. You know, I mean, I've chatted up a lot of candidates personally now, you know, at various backyard things.
They are referred to on the candidates pages. Somewhere I read.
Yeah, by the way, I have to say something, you know, in our little last minute of the segment here. The thing is so I operate these candidate pages, but the thing, and I have for a long time now, right? It's become such a sort of a tradition now.
Mm-hmm.
You know how many requests for information I've sent to candidates?
Yeah.
Zero.
I know, they send it to
and
you.
And they just
I know.
They
it's
just
great.
Come, you know,
and
they
and
oh,
you're referred to. I forget what it was, whether it was a Jan, somebody's blood said go to
it
was Emily Dexter.
Right. The truth is that the candidate pages are just it's a dating service, is what it is.
You don't change anything.
You're the voter, you're looking for a hot date, here's a candidate. Yeah. Oh boy.
And you don't edit anything, take it in and
nothing.
Put it out there.
Nothing. I mean, I may say something on my rwinners.com site, but the thing is
this is straight from the candidate.
Straight shot, absolutely. Yeah. So anyway, we've got pictures of everybody, and I've learned a lot about a lot of them. So
you can show them in the next segment.
We'll be back soon on Cambridge Inside Out.